Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.
Our text is the Old Testament reading from Proverbs chapter 3. I will read it again. My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. Let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. So you will find favor and good success in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord, and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh, and refreshment to your bones. This is our text. When I reached for a coffee mug in my cupboard this week, I noticed one that had a Bible verse on it. It said, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths." I wondered how many of you might have a coffee mug like that in your cupboard. Or perhaps you've got those words on a Hallmark card, or a wall hanging, or a throw pillow. Because I can promise you this, Proverbs 3 verses 5 and 6 sells a lot of merchandise. People love it. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. But back to the coffee mug. How many of us think we need a morning cup of coffee to survive? Maybe it's easier to trust the Lord and face life with a little caffeine on board. We've already been through the confession of sins, so I'm not going to ask for a show of hands this morning. But I'm actually being serious here. If we think we can't survive without caffeine, or our cell phone, or a glass of wine, or our favorite show, or whatever it is, then what does trust in the Lord even mean? Proverbs doesn't have anything against coffee, but it's definitely got something to say about those who fear, love, or trust in anything above the Lord. So how about this for your wake-up call, for your morning jolt, to get a little life coursing through your veins? Pick up your Bible and read. If you want coffee to go with it, go for it. Just remember that one of these is essential and one of them is an extra. Trust in the Lord. It can become a platitude. You know, one of those sayings that becomes so trite because we've been using it thoughtlessly or too much. What do we mean when we say it? Do we mean that we trust in the Lord so long as we're the ones who are in control and everything's working out exactly the way we want it? Trust in the Lord, we say. But the whole time we've got our hands firmly on the wheel, white-knuckling it, and there's no way we're letting go. You'll have to peel my fingers back one at a time to take the wheel from me. So we're glad to have the Lord along, and we'll certainly trust in him in the passenger seat. Lord, if you don't mind, I trust you, but I'll do the driving this week, we say. Control freaks. I mean, really, isn't that what we are? Control freaks about our time, about our money, about our health, about our house, about our work, about our play, about our children, birth control, helicopter parenting, and even about death. That last one may strike you as a bit strange. Control over our death. But have you heard about the MAID law in Canada? MAID stands for Medical Assistance in Dying, sometimes called euthanasia, but let's just skip the euphemisms and call it what it is. Assisted suicide. It's literally a death grip on the control wheel. We'll grasp at anything to feel like we're still in control of something, somewhere, even for a little while. We lean way too much on our own understanding. But when control is gone, that's when the rubber really hits the road. You know what those moments are in your life, perhaps even now. The things that reveal the truth that we're not in control the way we think we are or the way we want to be. When it's abundantly clear that you're not in control of the world or even your own life or sometimes even yourself. That wheel we think we're holding, I just picture us sitting in a video arcade with one of those fake pretend steering wheels. Look at me go. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Maybe Bartholomew, and remember he's also known as Nathaniel, maybe Bartholomew was reading the Proverbs as he sat under the fig tree before coming to Jesus. I picture Nathaniel, Bartholomew, as a man whose life had been fairly practical, predictable, and put together up to that point. As a son of the Word, he would not forget the teaching, but he would keep the commandments. Steadfast love and faithfulness didn't forsake him, but were bound around his neck, and they were written on the tablet of his heart. He's been a student of the Word. He's been a student of the Word in a fairly safe way. And then Philip finds him. Philip, who's just bubbling over and exuberant, he says to Bartholomew, "We've found him. We found him. Him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." And Bartholomew responds with a bit of skepticism. "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" He's leaning on his own understanding, leaning on his own thinking. Why, Nazareth, it's never mentioned in the Old Testament. Nazareth doesn't play into any of the prophecies or promises of God. But Philip simply steers him to Jesus. Philip says, "Come and see. Come and see." And that's how Bartholomew finds himself on this unexpected adventure, an adventure that's beyond his control. He meets Jesus, and Jesus says of him, "Behold, an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." How does Jesus know him? How does Jesus know who Bartholomew is? "Before Philip called you, while you were under the fig tree, while you were studying the scriptures and in the Bible, I saw you." When it was just Bartholomew with the scriptures, Jesus was there too. It should be a reminder to us. Jesus saw him and knew him through these pages and through these passages. Just like he sees and knows you through the scriptures as well. We think that as we read the Bible, we are learning about God. When really, in a way, as we read the Bible, God is learning and seeing us and knowing us more deeply than we've known before. Everything that's been written, St. Paul says, was written for our instruction. It was written for us. And Bartholomew discovers that day that Jesus won't be a passenger on the journey. You can't just tell Jesus, "Hop in the passenger seat and come ride along with me." Jesus isn't a ride for the long, isn't along for the ride. Jesus takes the wheel from Bartholomew. And this is what he says. Dear Bartholomew, you can't control me. You can't decide where things are going to go. But where I'm going, you can come too. You will see greater things than these. Truly, truly, I say to you, you'll see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. You can't control me, but you can learn from me. You can receive my love. You can follow me. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding, and in all your ways acknowledge me, and I will make straight your paths. Jesus offers that invitation to Bartholomew. And Bartholomew takes him up on it, even though he doesn't know where it will lead. And we'll get there in a minute. And as Bartholomew follows Jesus, he discovers that Jesus is indeed trustworthy. Everything he says, he does. That his word has power and life. As Peter said to Jesus when others were leaving, Peter said, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You, Jesus, have the words of eternal life." And Bartholomew learns to trust Jesus. He learns to trust Jesus as he sees him take 5 loaves and 2 fish and feed 5,000. He learns to trust Jesus as a man who's blind from birth comes to our Lord and Jesus heals him and gives him sight for the first time. He learns to trust Jesus as they go with him to visit Mary and Martha, who are grieving deeply for their brother Lazarus, who's been 4 days dead, until Jesus shows up and says, "Lazarus, come out." He learns to trust as he follows Jesus to Jerusalem, as he watches him falsely accused, arrested, beaten, spit on, mocked, hung on a cross to die, and then buried in a tomb. And he learns to trust as he's in that upper room on Easter Sunday evening with the doors locked and the lights off, and suddenly Jesus is right there. "Peace be with you. Didn't I tell you? Follow me. Trust in me, and I will make straight your paths." And again, later, when they're fishing on the Sea of Galilee, and they toss in the nets and pull in 153 fish. Bartholomew's life became an exercise in trust. And I'm not telling you that he got it perfectly right from that day when Jesus called him until he died. I'm sure there were ups and downs in his life. I'm sure there were moments when he thought he was trusting and realized it was only his hands on the wheel. But he followed Jesus. The Bible doesn't record for us where Bartholomew went or what he did or what happened to him. But we know as an apostle that he preached the apostolic faith. He preached the truth that Jesus is Son of God, King of Israel, Savior of the world through his suffering, death, and resurrection. But the Bible doesn't tell us the rest of his story, which is a reminder to us. We can't see around that next corner with Bartholomew. We can't see over the hill that's in front of him. We don't know what's written on the next page. But our Lord is more than able to take his people, to take us around that curve and over that hill and into the next page. But there is a little bit of a story about Bartholomew. Church history provides a little bit about him. It's said that he went and preached to the king and in the kingdom of Armenia. If you know anything about Armenia, it's a small country in the kind of Middle Eastern area, and it is the oldest Christian nation. Someone went and preached, probably Bartholomew. But the story goes this way. The king heard and believed and loved the word and loved Jesus, but the king's brother didn't. And the king's brother was so angered by what Bartholomew said that he had Bartholomew flayed alive, literally skinned to death for Jesus. Images of Bartholomew typically have him holding a flaying knife, but sometimes they even show him holding his own skin, draped over his shoulder, almost like he's carrying his coat. Which makes me wonder, which of you, in that moment as the flaying knife begins to fall, wants to go up to Bartholomew and say, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart," while his skin is being removed? But you know, he doesn't need us to tell it to him. St. Paul describes the apostles in this way. He says, we have this treasure in jars of clay, the ministry they have in jars of clay, referring to their bodies. We have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not driven to despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. Bartholomew carried in his body the death of Jesus, so that he could manifest, so he could proclaim and show forth the life of Jesus, the life of the living and risen Jesus. I'll confess that I find this description in 2 Corinthians 4 a bit challenging. Who wants to sign up for this? Afflicted, perplexed, persecuted, struck down. And yet the amazing thing to me is that Paul doesn't end with any of those words. Instead, he says, not crushed, not driven to despair, not forsaken, not destroyed. That's the apostles for us. That's Bartholomew, holding on to his own skin. And so we need not despair over him. And we need not worry about his suffering and persecution, or even the trials we meet in our own life. No, instead, we should see Bartholomew holding his own skin, holding the flaying knife. We should hear him as the one who is speaking to us and who says to us out of his own death and the promise of his resurrection, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Not from the comfort and security of our coffee cup do we say those words, but from the reality of his own martyrdom for Christ. He's the one who bears witness to us, this faithful saint, with his own life and death. He's the one who invites us into the way of Jesus. He's the one who encourages us to follow him, who is both Son of God and King of Israel. So here's the question for you this week. Where is it that you need this trust? In what moments or what situations do you need Bartholomew speaking to you, proclaiming the trustworthiness of Jesus and inviting you to follow? Where is it that you need Jesus, not in the passenger seat riding along, but rather at the wheel and in control? Bartholomew had this promise. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. Healing to the flesh, refreshment to the bones. resurrection of the body, because Jesus is alive and risen, and we can trust him in life and in death. Here's what Jesus offers, not a coffee mug with platitudes, but a different cup. Jesus offers the cup of salvation, and these are the words inscribed on it. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he, the one who is here in his body and his blood, will make straight your paths. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.